understand you can't listen to all 4 hours of the show. That's why we have Scheman and Shepherd on demand. Download us whenever at 993ESPN.com or on iTunes. This is Scheman and Shepherd on 993ESPN.
Scheman and Shepherd, 993ESPN and the 993ESPN app. I am Craig Scheman here at Estero. Pete Shepherd in Bonita. Chris on the other side of the glass as we roll into the 5 o'clock hour on a Thursday. Normally, we talk with Rick Horro at this time. He's having a situation over on the east coast of Florida, down there by Miami, where they're even more wet than we are. Flooding, cell tower problems. We're going to chat tomorrow, get all the details on all of that.
Just real quick, David Tyree had 3 catches in that game, 43
and
yards.
A touchdown.
I thought he had a touchdown. That game was a short one, I think 5 or 6 yards from Eli.
Yep. It's all right. They won the game.
So we could call that a typo?
I suppose.
Once again, didn't matter.
No, it really didn't matter. Nobody got any questions wrong at Wikipedia.
No.
So despite that.
And if we want to keep nitpicking, I'll let you guys come up with the questions.
Wow. Wow. Attitude Whoa. Out of nowhere.
Somebody's very sensitive.
Somebody needs a
sensitive.
Snickers bar.
No,
what's going
no,
on?
No,
over there?
I just had a take 5.
Better than a Snickers?
Better than a Snickers, yes.
Describe it to me again. It's pretzel with caramel and chocolate.
It's a Snickers bar, but take out the nougat, put in a pretzel.
I like that.
I think I would like that very much.
It's a delight.
Did you bring enough for the whole class?
No, because I bought this.
How much are they in the vending machine? $2?
$1.25.
Did you use a credit card or actual money?
So that means about 50 cents.
Well, I ended up paying $1.25 for it.
What happened?
Sorry, $1.75 for it.
What?
Why?
I put $1 in, like an actual dollar bill, my last dollar bill.
Right. I hate that when that happens.
And I put in a quarter. It didn't accept my quarter.
Right.
So I hit the change button.
Right.
Right?
Right.
It only gave me $1 back in change. So I was 75. I'm down 25 cents already. Then I think, okay, well, I've got my 4 quarters here. I walk back to my office. I get another quarter. Walk back to the vending machine. Put a quarter in.
Yes.
It doesn't recognize the quarter. I hit change return, and it doesn't give me anything. So now I'm 50 cents in before I've even purchased anything. And then I did the additional $1.25 for the actual take 5.
This is hilarious on multiple levels.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, you sat on that story, even though I asked you about your candy bar last hour. You've had a history with this vending machine that has gotten quite ugly in the past. And the fact that you sat on that information that you were duped and got robbed, I find amusing in and of itself.
I don't find it very funny.
So what did this end up costing you?
$1.75.
What was it supposed to cost you?
$1.25.
Which means in a regular store, probably 65, 70
probably
cents.
Probably a buck.
So this machine owes you 50 cents.
Yeah. And somebody wrote a note and taped it to the...
Really?
So there's always notes on that thing. Well, I got ripped off on this tape.
This has more notes than your sticky wall behind you with all the notes from our show.
But it's kind of funny. Okay, this is one of the higher-ups here in the building. And the sign says, your machine does not recognize dimes. What vending machine recognizes dimes?
When did they stop recognizing dimes in the 1980s? Well, we had payphones on the street corner.
I could see pennies, but usually dimes and nickels used to be. If you're paying a buck and you had 10 dimes, you put 10 dimes.
I think it's been a while since the machines have recognized dimes.
I'm kind of with
quarters,
Craig,
crisp bills, or credit
cards. Sometimes you go out to your car, you have change in your car. We all have a bunch of change in our car. It's not all quarters, but
mine's
Chris, I have
quarters.
Some quarters in my. If my desk is still there, God only knows.
Oh, no, I've got my 4 quarters. I mean,
I got quarters in that. I got quarters in my little cup over there in my little cubicle.
No, I always try to keep some quarters in my desk.
Yeah,
it's just for this exact reason. Except now I know quarters don't work for food.
Well, that just seems.
Well, no. Sometimes they do, and sometimes they don't.
So, let me ask you this: had you put 2 crisp dollar bills in there, would it have spit out 75 cents? Or did the bar cost you $2 if you do that?
No, I would hope it would spit out 75
cents.
You'll
get change.
But that's an iffy proposition.
Why'd you use your credit card?
Oh well, I ended up having to use my credit card.
You didn't say that. Okay.
Here's
that's
getting more complicated by the minute.
Here's the dollar.
Okay.
It's all over the place.
It gave you $1 back in change.
Well, I got it right. So I ended up paying 50 cents more for the candy bar, and I turned a dollar bill into 4 quarters.
And now if you don't pay off that credit card, you're going to pay interest on it at about
2 losing proposition.
$1 service charge. So that whole pretzel cost you $5.
Yeah.
Yeah, take $5 out of my account. That's what.
Exactly. All right. The big news of the day, obviously, and this has been going on for about 24 hours. Drew Brees yesterday on Yahoo Finance doing an interview. The guy asked him, hey, with everything that's going on and you're a leader of this team, do you expect that people might kneel for the national anthem again in the National Football League? It's something we even discussed on this show in the past few days. And how are you going to handle it as a leader of the team? Because you're on the record for, you know, being very pro-anthem and very pro-flag, and you think it's disrespectful to kneel. Let's play the soundbite, Chris. Here, Brees said that he'll never agree with disrespecting the flag, and it opened up a whole can of worms. Here was.
Every time I stand with my hand over my heart, looking at that flag and singing the national anthem, that's what I think about. And in many cases, it brings me to tears, thinking about all that has been sacrificed, not just those in the military, but for that matter, those throughout the civil rights movements of the 60s and everyone and all that has been endured by so many people up until this point. And is everything right with our country right now? No, it's not. We still have a long way to go. But I think what you do by standing there and showing respect to the flag with your hand over your heart is it shows unity. It shows that we are all in this together. We can all do better, and that we are all part of the solution.
As I mentioned earlier, that statement in and of itself, in a bubble, there's absolutely nothing wrong with it. And he's entitled to that opinion. But and he's had that opinion for 4 years. But Malcolm Jenkins went scorched earth on him, his teammate, Ed Reed, LeBron James, Mike Thomas, yep. Snacks Harrison, people all over the league blasted him because of the situation going on around the country right now. It was tone deaf to them. It was hurtful to them. Add whatever else you want, but it did not go well.
And I understand why. I've said all day. You know, it came off as a little insensitive. And I don't think he meant it that way. It's just that he did not address, the George Floyd situation. And it just came off as insensitive. But he could totally redeem himself with the apology he came out with this morning.
It was a great apology. Some people nitpicked it. Some people said, no, Drew showed his true colors yesterday. I won't accept his apology. And others like Mike Thomas did accept his apology and says, let's move on. Give me my 149 throws this year because I want to score. But, you know, as I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I think it's worth repeating. In what world are we where 3 years ago or 3 days ago, if I would have told you that Colin Kaepernick would be praised for kneeling during the anthem and Drew Brees would be the most vilified person in sports because he supported the flag and the national anthem, you would say, what drugs are you taking or what planet are we on? But that's what has occurred here in the last 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
It's been crazy.
Yep, and I'm just hoping in this, our show is providing a platform, just hoping we can all, you know, kind of just talk it out at times or whatever, if anybody wants to. We've had some great callers today and really, you know, all week so far about, you know, everybody being committed to equality and having justice prevail for everybody. And that's the common goal here, right? I mean, that's...
It is, but I'm still surprised, not with the dissent. And by the way, Tony Dungy with a great statement today saying, look, Drew needs to be able to say what he said, and we need to be able to hear it, and we need to be able to say, well, we don't agree with it, and then let's have a conversation. So he wasn't, you know, killing him for it. But here's a guy that has been a perfect citizen outside of football, particularly in the New Orleans area, particularly post-Katrina, helping that city rebuild. He and his wife donating money, donating time, spending time with the special or with minority children in the area, trying to give them an advantage. Gave $5 million of his own money for COVID testing for people that can't afford it. And it goes away, all that goodwill goes away in one day. I'm going to play some sound bites here for you. Malcolm Jenkins and Ed Reed and all that. Listen not to their dissent, but the vitriol in their voice. Mm-hmm. And this was – LeBron is guilty of this too. Let's play some of this. Here's Malcolm Jenkins. I want to play this. Again, this is yesterday. His reaction to his teammate, Drew Brees.
If you don't understand that other people experience something totally different than you, then when you talk about being the brotherhood and all this other bull, it's just lip service or it's only on the field. Because when we step off of this field and I take my helmet off and I'm a black man walking around America and I'm telling you I'm dealing with these things, I'm telling you my communities are dealing with these things, and your response to me is, don't talk about that here. This is not the place. Drew, where is the place, Drew? I'm disappointed. I'm hurt. Because while the world tells you that you're not worthy, that your life doesn't matter, the last place you want to hear from are the guys that you go to war with and that you consider to be allies and to be your friends. Even though we're teammates, I can't let this slide.
And that's not, and you can hear the emotion in his voice, and that's not as intense as his first statement that he actually erased from social media. And says, you know, you refer to him as a friend in past tense. It's going to be tough in that locker room. Take a listen now to Ed Reed, former Hurricane, by the way, and former Baltimore Raven. He said, Drew Brees is a sucker. This is on Twitter.
I'm going to just get straight to it. I see Drew Brees trying to do his part in keeping black folk down. You're a straight sucker for that, Drew Brees. We all got kids, so I'm going to try to mind what I say right now. Drew Brees, you're a straight sucker, man. You're a sucker for that, bro. Why you think all these young people out here protesting? Why you think they out here protesting? The looting, I can see you speaking on the looting and saying that's bad, you don't support that. But why you think all these young people out here protesting?
A lot more of that going on around the league. I have one more. I have, here's Lewis Riddick. He was on Get Up this morning. He said Breeze's credibility took a hit with his lack of awareness. There, all that credibility just went away in one day. Here it is.
Yeah, I disagree.
But his credibility now comes into question. His credibility took a hit yesterday with the lack of awareness and empathy he showed towards his African-American teammates, and as were, you know, beautifully articulated by Malcolm Jenkins. Credibility in that whole tripod of, you know, of things that were of things that I talk about when you're talking about leadership, I believe is the very most important. It's the most critical. Your credibility, your trustworthiness, that people know that what you're saying to me to my face are the same things that you're saying to other people behind my back and when I am not around you. That you're still standing for me and you still have my back then, just like you say you have my back when we're on the football field, just like you say you have my back when we're in the locker room and when we're in the football building, and just like I believe that you have my back when we go our separate ways.
I'm sorry, I'm going separate ways. I'm going on his 20-year track record of being generous and charitable to people in his community. That's got to count for something. You can't.
Absolutely.
And an apology has to be accepted more often in this country, too. That was a pretty good apology he ripped off this morning.
It leads itself to the cancel culture that we have, right? Yeah, say one thing that majority of people, or I don't even know if it's a majority of people, that a group of people don't agree with, and you've seen it in entertainment with guys like Kevin Hart, whose life goal it was, or professional goal, was to host the Oscars.
Yeah.
And a video surfaces before he's about to host from, was it 5-6 years prior?
Yeah.
And just like that, it's gone. Just like that. It's the cancel culture that we live in right now.
Yep.
No, it's crazy, and it's worse for comedians, which is why I always commend David Chappelle for what he's did. He's just flipping the bird at everybody. He's like, I don't care. I'm doing my jokes the way I wanted to. There's nothing to do to stop it, and it's been phenomenal.
But it's funny because he paid for it, though, financially.
Yeah.
He paid
did.
For it. He wanted to be able to do the comedy that he wanted to do and not have topics that were off limit. He felt like if it was funny, he wanted to do it. Well, that ended up in a really lucrative contract with Comedy Central getting canceled, and he doesn't get picked up, and he's on these big movie sets that you see Kevin Hart
but
on.
But he did so on Netflix, though. He did on Netflix.
On Netflix, yeah. I don't know how much he got paid for that, though.
Yeah.
This is interesting. But Chicken Salad said that was the first time he's heard the Drew Brees quote in its entirety. He's only heard what the media has been playing today, and he has a much different feel for you know what it was.
You know, and I think that all of us say, look, that was – that wasn't the right thing for Drew Brees to say yesterday. It was not the right thing. You know, it's like we open up the show by saying it's like he's almost just been in his basement watching Netflix for the last week, really, because it was last Thursday.
Yeah, it was a little insensitive. I mean, it was insensitive how he – I don't think he meant it that way, nor if you didn't see, and I'm glad we played it, because it wasn't like he went on TV and was like, no, if you kneel, you – he didn't yell and scream. No, he was very composed. It's just how he felt. I think if he had addressed – initially, the George Floyd situation and what was going on in the country the last, 72 hours specifically, and everything else, and then kind of said, however, then go into what he said. Yep. He might not have needed to apologize, but I thought it was a very sincere apology. I'm not going to read it again. I've retweeted it. It's all over the place, but it was very heartfelt from the heart. And he's had several teammates accept his apology already. I'm sure they're all going to.
Malcolm's the one that's got to come around. That's what I'm waiting to hear.
Look, if there becomes an issue in that locker room between Malcolm Jenkins and Drew Brees,
right.
I know who's going to be there week one.
Right.
I know Drew Brees is going to be taking the snaps for the Saints week one.
Right.
Yeah.
Against Tampa, right?
Malcolm Jenkins, is this the opportunity to is this the scenario where you turn your back on Drew Brees, or is this a place where you say, you know what?
I'll meet you halfway.
Let's talk about it.
Right.
Let me explain to you where I'm coming from on this, and then you can explain to me where you're coming from on this.
Yeah. Paratrooper's another one that said that's the first time he heard the whole statement. And again, the changes, they think that Drew Brees didn't do anything wrong. Bill in Naples, I don't think that was insensitive. I think a lot of people are on Drew Brees' side, but afraid to say so with what's been going on.
But he's also.
But it wasn't sensitive at first. I don't think he didn't mean it. I'm not saying he intended to do that, but it came off as insensitive, and you can totally understand why, considering what is going on here this week. And there's nothing wrong with that. It was. I mean, you may not think it was, but to many people this week, it came off that way. He has a right to say what he had, but look, it obviously, he addressed it. He sent out that heartfelt apology this morning because he understood afterwards, oh my God, I should have thought about this.
Well, not right away, because he went on ESPN last night and doubled down on it. And then after sleeping on it and seeing the bleep storm.
And this is kind of going, and I guess you could use the word tone deaf to apply to this as well, because what we've been hearing all week from the black community is, look, if you're not stepping up and talking about this, then you're part of the problem, right? Just sweeping it under the rug isn't going to help anything. Mm-hmm. Well, Drew Brees right there doesn't legitimize the kneeling during the national anthem. So by not legitimizing it, you're delegitimizing it, right? Yep. You're taking something away from it.
Yep.
And I don't think that he meant anything from it, but
no, it was just how it was presented.
It came across as tone deaf,
insensitive. Tone deaf and sensitive. I understand that. And everybody bleeding ears. It's not that he said anything wrong. It's the way it was presented initially.
Well, what I don't like are people that go, "Oh, he showed his true colors yesterday after 20 years."
That's crap. That's crap. I mean, that's crap.
Know what's inside a man's heart. I mean, and I don't think people gave him that chance. If Malcolm Jenkins says, "Dude, that's bad timing. My family's hurting. You got to reconsider what you said." But the level and the Ed Reed comments and LeBron chastising him, like,
LeBron,
come on, guys.
Yeah.
LeBron.
And I've never been in a situation where I've seen A-lister superstars from multiple sports ripping on each other for something. We've never seen that before.
Look, LeBron. LeBron, if you want to be all high and mighty, let's go back to your quotes about China. Okay, LeBron?
You couldn't be bothered?
Let's do that.
Yeah. Well, and you can do that for a lot of people. And like I said, I can't believe that Martellus Bennett is not getting more heat today for what he said. I mean, he had some real, real heavy, really, if a white guy had ever said what he did, all hell would break loose. And maybe it's because he's not in the league anymore, and it's kind of, okay, it's Martellus being Martellus, but man, he had some really harsh, racist, I thought really racist stuff that he said. Way over the top. Way, way, way over the top.
Metric System says that Brees discounted what his teammates are fighting for. And here's, look, 305 says, it's funny how mostly white people feel that it wasn't insensitive. It would not be insensitive to a white person since they're not going through the discrimination that the minorities are going through. You cannot tell somebody who is suffering from discrimination what is and what is not insensitive. I don't disagree with that statement at all. It's 100% correct. I'm just surprised at the level his own teammates, the anger and the think I'm articulating myself. Well, I mean, look, I understand you can point out that he's wrong. But the level they turned on him and just like have hatred toward him now is unbelievable.
I think it came across as like, do you understand what African Americans being why they're upset and Drew Brees' comments as being deemed by some as hurtful initially and insensitive. And I get it. And then the other part of this is, you know, how blinded are all of us by a lot of these injustices and what's it going to take to see clearly again? I mean, what are you doing? I still think there's a lot of older people, I'm sorry again, that don't give a damn, never will, they don't care. They're hoping this all blows over by tomorrow. There's a lot of older people pooping their pants right now because I wonder if they're going to be extra careful when they throw around certain words around the country at certain times where they don't think people really care. Because that's the problem. You get caught up in a culture or in a neighborhood or a group of people, a group of friends, and you throw out some of these words sometimes, and there's never any repercussions. Well, now there might be.
Yeah.
And the problem is nobody, even if you hear them, nobody speaks up enough about it. Nobody challenges anybody.
Well, you gave an instance where you did.
I did.
I commend you for it.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. It was a lie, but I did. And somebody threw the N-word out in a golf thing, if you didn't hear me, last hour and a half ago. And I turned around and I said, well, my father's black.
Yeah.
I said, why don't you tell him that? Let's have a conversation with him. And he shut up the rest of the way. But my other friends let him have it for the rest of the 18 holes. And
I'm glad you did that.
But yeah, but I'm saying, you know, I'm wondering. I mean, you hear flippant comments all the time. I'm walking around a lot of different places. Not just Southwest Florida, but in the past as well. And you look at people and you shake their head and like, what freaking bubble do you live under? Do you have any idea what it's like? And then they're the people that always seem like they're the victim.
Right, right.
They're the victim. And I told you, and I'll keep saying it. I'm sorry. I'm not offending anybody, man. But it's a lot of these church-going folks, and they're great in church. As soon as they step into their car, get into their car and come out of the parking lot, it starts. It's like they forgot everything that we were just talking about.
Well, the church parking lot is a dicey situation.
Oh, well, that is. I have seen more fender benders back in my day, not by me, because I was able to walk when I used to go. But, man, you come out, body of Christ, and everybody's feeling great. You get in your car, you try to get out of the parking lot. You bleepity bleep bleep. Bleepity bleep, filthy foul, bleepity bleep. Get out of. Well, oh, jeez. Okay. Yeah. Maybe it's because you're hungry because you're not supposed to eat before communion, I guess. But
that's true.
I don't know. But it sets a lot of people off. But there's a lot of phony, baloney religious people out there that claim to go to church every Sunday and pray, and they're so into their religion, blah, blah, blah. And you have a conversation, and you hear them say the N-word, or they're anti-Semitic, or they're this, or they're that. And you go, how do you come to that conclusion?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You know, based on what? Trapped in a little Caucasian bubble out in, you know, Jerkwater, USA somewhere? I mean,
by the harbor.
It's ridiculous.
Let's go to the phones. We've got full phones here. Let's get to these. 239-337 ESPN. Sean, I actually heard Chris's vending machine story. Let's start with him. Then everybody else wants to talk about Drew Brees. Sean, go ahead.
What's up, fellas?
What's going on?
What's up, Sean?
Not much. Oh, yeah. I know what it's like to have a vending machine steal from you. Because I have one at my work, and they just can't had to come and fix it today.
Yeah.
Where we've had employees, like, put change in, like, put dollar bills in and their quarters in and then press for the soda, and then it just never dispenses the soda.
Never.
Hey, hang on a sec. You talking about a Publix?
Yep. And our break room. We had a...
You got to pay for soda at Publix?
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah, and our vending machines in our break room.
Yeah, they got vending machines.
Well, you work there. Why don't you, can't you just go up, grab whatever you want, go pay for it at the counter?
That's going to mess up inventory, Pete. That's not how it works.
You can't just grab a Coke off the shelf and go in the break room?
You're going to ruin the six-pack.
No, you only grab a water. You don't grab water.
Can you grab a bag of chips? What if you just grabbed a bag of chips and a Gatorade and went to the break room? What would they do?
They still make you pay for it.
Yeah. This isn't a free-for-all, Pete Shepard.
Lay's, Coca-Cola.
Yeah, but you're on break. You can't have a dollar's worth. You can't have a freaking bag of chips and a Gatorade on your break?
They'll make sure you pay for it. They got customer service, and the managers are always walking around. So it's not that easy.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, no, I'm not saying steal it. I'm saying, I know know you're on video. I know you're. Everybody's watching.
See, you're always on video. Pete says that.
But my God, I mean.
All right, Sean. What if I... I appreciate the phone call. Let's go to Sean number two.
I'd be grabbing sushi out of the. I'd be.
You can't do that. That's stealing.
It's called stealing. It's.
I didn't say not pay for it. I said I'd be.
You're one step away from rioting.
I'm not bringing lunch if I work at Publix. I'm going to get something there. I'm going to grab a sub.
Get a pub sub and get a 30% discount for the employees. Okay.
Yes.
Extra meat.
I'm not bringing my own lunch to Publix.
Sean number two, you're on Sheepin' and Shepherd. Go ahead.
Hey, guys.
What's up?
What's up?
Just wanted to throw this out there. It just it kind of makes me laugh. I mean, this whole situation obviously is bad. The cops were out of line and that whole thing and should go to prison. But, you know, they're jumping all over Drew Brees right now. And what I'm about to say is actual fact. It's Texas record in the laws and that. They want to jump all over Drew Brees about just saying he doesn't agree with kneeling for a flag. But they're out there putting murals up all over this country for George Floyd, the guy that did 5 years in prison for breaking in a house, pistol whipping a pregnant black woman, putting a gun in her belly and robbing her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. I'm out.
Yeah. All right, thanks, okay.
John. And yes, but that's the old adage of he still didn't deserve to die
that day.
He was murdered.
Right. Right.
Yeah. And a lot of people feel like that guy does. And I understand that. But again, the two wrongs make a right.
Yeah. Let's go to my man, Otis. Always interested to hear what he has to say. Otis, how are you today?
I'm doing all right. How you doing, guys?
Very
What's
good.
What's happening,
What's
Otis?
On your mind today?
Well, I mean, you guys are always on topic about something. I wanted to say, Chris made a while back, and, you know, that guy that just got off.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's what you get. The message that he just sent is because the guy been to prison before, it, you know, he doesn't deserve what he's getting.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, that's the message he's sending. Or in a way, it's all right that the cops killed him.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares if he went to prison?
Right.
Nobody cares.
Yeah.
Let somebody lean on your neck for 8 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter if you went to prison or got out. As far as I know, when you go to prison or jail, when you get out, you're square with the house for whatever you did.
Yeah.
That's what I know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's over with. So now you're at this next part. And I really wish that dude hadn't called because he pissed me off.
Yeah.
You know, you get these people who devalue people who have chosen poorly. You know, you devalue them. What? So was he not an American citizen? So was he not, you know.
Oh, he's just a human being.
Was he not a human being? Yes, that's my point.
Yeah.
You try
he was
to,
a human being. He was a human being who was murdered. He was murdered.
Yeah. On camera.
So you get from that. And, you know, he kind of threw me off a little bit because I was really, I read a little bit of, about, I heard you guys read the whole statement about what Bree said. And, you know what I'm saying? The stuff gets so polluted. And you'll have people that you will never change their mind about it.
Yeah.
I never had one problem with Kaepernick because I heard what he was doing.
Uh-huh.
And believe me, Mrs. Otis and my mother-in-law and father-in-law didn't say anything. He don't give two craps. But they said something because they fell into the twisted narrative. You know, it's like this. I read the part where he talked about it. Was it his grandfather and his dad served the country and all of that stuff, right?
Yep.
And then the other guys were tweeting about, you know, black guys serving. Well, my dad was a Vietnam veteran.
Mm-hmm.
And things were not like in the early 70s. They were not like they are today. I can tell you, and I was a small kid, and I remember he was not a hero when he came back.
Mm-hmm.
Should have been
for all those, not for all those white people at the airport.
Yeah.
They did not say hero while they held up their peace signs or something. I'll give you one guess on what word he was.
Yeah,
and after that,
also used other, but Vietnam was that's a whole other issue because everybody that came back or so many were treated like crap, called baby killer, and all sorts of other vile crap. That was absolutely ridiculous. And as you know, as Sylvester Stallone said in the movie, who the hell are they to judge me unless they've been me and been there and know what the hell they're talking about? I mean,
but that was still in service of your country, whether you liked the war or the outcome or not. Am I correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so
yeah.
And I've never been crazy about that. So much so, when I grew up, looking at the picture of him with his M16 from across there in the jungles where he helped build roads for tanks, you know, and learned how to do that and came back and built roads here in Fort Myers. But myself and my brother, we were headed to that direction. My brother Navy me on it. But, you know, I listened to that, and I listened to that guy that, and up until my pop expired, he was never a hero. And I guarantee you, he got called a lot of other names besides that. And he was that same guy. I really didn't care for him to say, you know, about the part him talking about he loves the flag because of his parents and this and that and the products. Because I've seen too much other stuff, too much contradiction, too much oxymoron. Yeah, that's great for Mr. Breeze. And the lane that he grew up in. But the other guys, those other people that you don't consider, and, you know, LeBron and all the other guys, they've seen the other side of the side that he did not consider before he spoke, and people speak too much too fast. You have to know, you have to really think about what you're going to say or pass.
Yeah.
On saying anything.
I have I've done some more listening this week than talking, and that's why I always appreciate when you call, Otis. Thank you very much, man.
And
thank you for
your dad's
me.
A hero to me.
Absolutely.
Dad be a hero to me, I can tell you that.
All right. Hang tight. I got Kevin, Art the Bills fan, and Rick from Naples coming right back at you. They all want to talk about all this. Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Radio Tinder.
I bet you'd swipe right on this show. This is Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Yeehaw!
Nope.
This is a Chili Peppers again, is it?
I got him.
You got him.
Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. All right, look, I wanted everybody to have their voice heard with the topic of Drew Brees and Colin Kaepernick, and we're running late. I got three more phone calls I want to get on here. They've been waiting a long
time.
Let's do it. So let's burn through these. Let's try and be kind of tidy with our comments and we can get everybody on. Kevin in the Cape, you're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. Thank you for waiting. You're on the air.
Hi, Kevin. How are you, gentlemen, today?
Good. How are you?
Great.
Good. So I want to just kind of add on to what Otis said. Sean number two got me a little fired up, and then I'll get on to the Drew Brees thing quickly.
Sure.
You know, it's the viewpoints like that that try and legitimize something that should have never happened. You know, once someone's detained, there's no need for a knee on the neck for another almost 9 minutes. So that's all I'll say about that.
Sure.
And I'll jump on to the Drew Brees thing. You know, with Drew Brees, I think it's one of those things where he could have done both, right? And this is kind of where the education and the situational awareness and the empathy comes into play, right? He could have said, look, during the national anthem, I choose to stand, put my hand over my heart, sing the national anthem, you know, I protest or fight inequality in a different way, right? I do it through my foundation, through the work I do in New Orleans, whatever that is. You know, however, if my teammates, if my colleagues in the NFL want to choose that as their way to protest inequality, then I fully support it. Right, and so I,
Kevin, that's a damn good answer.
Well, that's what he should have done. He should have had an amendment or a preamble, one before whatever it was, exactly what you said, and he would not have had to make a second statement this morning.
Now, he didn't know that question was coming either, and that was on the fly, and maybe if he had it to do again. But that was a great comment by Kevin. Let's go to Rick. Rick in Naples, you're on with Sheeman and Shepherd. Hello.
Hey, Rick.
Hey guys.
What's on your mind?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, just want to just make a quick statement. Hey, I'm fairly new to you guys. I've only gone back to the Chris days of the matching your glasses, belt, and socks. But enjoy listening to you guys every day that I get my drive home.
Thank you.
Say how proud I am of you guys, the way you represent Southwest Florida. And I know it's tough for you guys with no sports going on, but just wanted to chime in and say thank you for how you make my day and my drive home.
Oh, thank you.
It means a lot. Thank you. And you make our day too. And all of the listeners, whether we agree or disagree.
Yep.
It's a privilege to be a part of this community in this
absolutely
in all of Southwest Florida.
Thank you for the nice words. Art, the Bills fan, close it out.
Art.
Hey, what's up, boys?
What's up?
What's happening?
Okay, real quick. Chris, anytime you need a snack, text me.
I was making wings. I was making cod chowder today. Meatballs. I'll drop it off. Text me.
All right, I will. Next time.
Everybody
next
gets, time, I once again, I get left out.
You get nothing.
That goes for you, too. You just got to tell me where to meet you.
Yeah. You got to put some effort into it, Pete.
Okay, real quick on Colin Kaepernick.
Yes.
One of the things that still stings about when he took the knee initially is he also, in addition to the police brutality, it was the anthem itself and the third verse and the flag itself he did not care for. And this is something that I agree with the police brutality. The anthem has the third, fourth verse that I didn't even know about that until, and God bless him for bringing that out. I didn't even know. But when you connect the flag itself and everything, that's kind of an issue for a lot of people that if it had only been police brutality, it may have not been the way things went. That's all I got to say.
All right. By the way, you need to do some research on Jake Fromm. Bad week for him, too, your new Bills quarterback.
Oh, no. What happened?
Some racist texts have popped up he apologized for today. Just letting you know.
Oh, God.
I know.
He's Georgia, man.
Yeah.
Well, it was a text, and it looked like it was done in tongue-in-cheek style, but he basically said, if you're going to sell guns, sell them only to privileged white people. Ha, ha. And that was
what?
A couple
of, oh, my God.
Yeah,
I don't know how that was from his phone, and somehow they got somehow the text got put out there. I know you texted me earlier about why I went to Catholic high school on my own, Art, but I wanted to play hockey at my high school. I knew I was going to get a college education, and I thought if I passed the test and get in, I'd have a chance. And I just liked the whole atmosphere; it was going to be better. I needed the discipline for me, and. You know, I knew my hockey team was good. I knew that they were second in the country. Unfortunately, the number one team in the country was 10 miles away, also in the same state. I got cut from the hockey team, but still went on to get a great education, which was the whole point of me going there to begin with. The best C-plus student ever.
By the way, if you missed our show today, sorry about that. It was stellar as usual. I'm very proud of it. Be sure to go back and listen to all 4 hours of the show with Sheba and Shepherd on demand, available at 99.3 ESPN app, iTunes, and wherever you get your podcasts. What you got next? Sheba and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Time for those parting shots. It's What You Got with Sheman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. Now, it's Sheman and Shepherd.
What You Got is brought to you by Twin Peaks, and I've been thinking about them for about an hour since Chris started mentioning their candy bacon over there. And their...
Oh, that's awesome. Oh, that's good to be bored.
I know. I just go to Twin Peaks tonight, eat drinks, and scenic views. It's that simple. On this day in history, 1989, good day, bad day. Bad day, Tiananmen Square. That whole thing happened over in China. That was 31 years ago today. I remember that because 31 years ago today, I asked my wife to marry me on this day. She said yes.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. 1984. What's that?
Did you get a boat that day?
No.
How many times did she say no?
I was one for one.
One for one?
Yeah. And it stuck.
How about that?
Still with me.
Awesome.
1984, Bruce Springsteen releases Born in the USA. That's okay, album. Happy birthday, Angelina Jolie, born in 1975. Xavier McDaniel, Seattle Supersonics,
X-Man.
Born in 1963. I always liked him.
Oh, yeah.
John Wooden died on this day in 2010. And in 1974, the NFL granted a franchise to the Seattle Seahawks. Pete Shepard, what you got?
Jim Zorn, Steve Largent. Ohio State had a season ticket renewal rate of
100%.
100%.
88. That's still very good, considering. 12% that's 44,320 tickets. And the message from nearly a dozen season ticket holders, we want football. Somebody said Ohio State football is an incredible spectacle, and I want to continue to go watch. I'm sure that's the case in a lot of places as well.
Did 12% just get bored with beating Michigan by 50 and said, these are not exciting, or what?
That's good.
Hard for me to say that joke because I like Michigan.
No, I think that will increase once things get a little more back to normal, if possible, and they find out. You know, some of those 12% might say, well, they're only allowed 25,000 in anyway. I'm not going to pay this year. I'll wait a year, but who knows?
All right. Is that Chris? What you got?
I got history in the NCAA.
Yes. Sports?
That's big, right?
Yeah.
History in the NCAA. It's been around for a while.
Yeah.
Former and now current Arizona State punter Michael Turk has received a waiver from the NCAA to return to Arizona State, even though he declared for the draft.
Right.
And he signed with an agent. How could he do this, Chris? He signed with an agent that breaks every NCAA by. Well, COVID-19 is the reason. He was not able to participate in any pro days or visit teams to work out. Never happened before. NCAA, using good judgment, said, here you go. Now, this might screw former Florida State punter Logan Tyler over because he has transferred to Arizona State to be their punter this year. So Herm Edwards has a little position battle at punter this
punter
fall.
Punter controversy.
Transfer portal.
It's too late. Yep. It's too late. Well, no, fall semester hasn't started.
Yeah, we'll see what they give. Right. Might put a little leeway.
It's a good campus, though. He might find other things to interest
him. Oh, it's a strong campus.
Maybe the strongest.
Strong
maybe
campus.
Maybe number one in that category. A
lot
if you know
of
what
COVID being spread on that campus.
that's not where I was going.
Well, not now, but maybe soon.
Know what I'm saying?
Yeah, sure.
Know what I'm saying?
Sure.
It's a beautiful campus.
Yeah, beautiful scenery.
Yeah.
In the desert.
Very beautiful.
Lush with
what, Chris?
Where
were we going?
Okay. I get in trouble.
All right. How much time we got? Is this thing over?
Nope.
I feel like I've done 9 shows this week. It's only Thursday.
Another Michigan heartbreak tonight on ESPN.
Yeah.
As you can watch Cordell Stewart break the hearts of Wolverine fans again.
It's almost been like 3 different shows within one today. You had the overriding show, the Drew Brees comments.
Yes.
Then you had the sports show. Hockey and NBA, you know, path to resume play is on.
Right.
We know the roadmap.
Right.
And then you also had the stupid show talking about contact high, the culinary arts, and having the talk with Dad.
I like the stupid show.
But I do too. I think tomorrow there might be a little more baseball because now I'm starting to read more and more. I think because of the pressure of the National Hockey League and the NBA and NFL and college football to a degree. I think MLB may come up with some sort of 50-game plan here, as we said. I think they are desperate. Even though they're going to still lose millions of dollars, I think they are so desperate. They want to save whatever little face they have left. I think we're going to start hearing more and more rumors about this possibility of a 50-game schedule coming up.
We weren't able to play the soundbite today, but Trevor Bauer on the Pat McAfee show said he is 95 to 100% sure that there will be baseball played this summer.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure that if it is, that's the plan they're talking about.
Pat McAfee's having a good week.
Got Tony Dungy on there strong saying stuff. I'd be curious, you know, if ESPN Radio goes after him a little harder.
Yeah. That'd be good.
There might be an opening.
Yeah, let's take him.
And it's not the midday.
It's not from 2 to 6, is it?
No, it's it's Will Cain from 3 to...
No, he's leaving. He's going back to Fox to be a political commentator.
That's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
All right, that'll do it, everybody.
Yeah.
For Chris, for Pete Shepard, I'm Craig Sheeman. Thanks for listening. Kudos to me again. Have a great night. Talk to you tomorrow. God bless America and the world.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' on You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.